We're doing that Sadi Ches Amid Beis. We're going to try to get that at least at the bottom of the page, hopefully a little bit on the Sadi Ches Amid Aleph as well. We are holding two dots. You got it? Ze Omer Ein Yodea Ze Omer. This is one of the cases in the Mishnah. Ze Omer Ein Yodea Ze Omer Ein Yodea. Neither guy knows whether it was the borrowed one that died or the rented one that died. So what do we say to do in the Mishnah when neither guy knows? Yachloku. So says the Gemara, Hamani, who is the author of our Mishnah that says that when you don't know what to do, you split it? Sumchasi. That's the famous opinion of Sumchas. It's an important phrase.
Isn't his famous case with the cow that does that have to do with this or nothing else?
No, that's the source of Simchas. So over here we don't know whether it was the Schura that died and or the Sheula that died, so we split the money and he's got to pay half of the money. What would the Chachamim say in such a case? The Chachamim would disagree with Simchas? What? There's Hamotzi Mechavero. I love Haraya. No, not called Al Mugvar, not Yemunach. Now, we had said, remember, there was one way that everyone can become Pater, that even a Shoel can be Pater. What's the one way that even a Shoel can be Pater?
By
Levimo. So says the Gemara. By Rabbi Abba Bar Mamal. Sha'Allah Bebailim. Let's say at the time that you borrow the cow, you borrow the Bailim as well to do some malacha with it. And before you return the cow, Schara Sha'Allah Bebailim. You rent it again. You re-up your arrangement with the guy by renting it, but when you paid for the rental, you did not hire the owner as well, and then it gets lost or it gets stolen. Mahu? What's the halacha? So what do you mean? What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, well, there are two ways to look at this. Mi aminan she'ela luchuda kaima uschiras luchuda kaima. That the borrowing stands on its own and the renting stands on its own, meaning there were two totally separate arrangements. The borrowing was over, and now what did you do? Now you rented. And when you rent, you didn't have the bailim with you when you rented it, so you're going to be chayiv. Oh, Dilmer, maybe no. Schirus b'she'ela meishach sheichi. The rental is a continuation of the borrowing. They're connected to each other. Because you have no new chiyuvim that you didn't already have when you switch from being a borrower to a renter. Meaning everything that a renter is chayiv for, a borrower is chayiv for. So you are already chayiv for everything. You had all the responsibilities that a renter has, you already had when you were a borrower. And when did you take on those responsibilities? At what point? The responsibilities that you're chayiv for as a socher, you took on those responsibilities when you borrowed it, initially, when you first borrowed it. So all of those responsibilities have been in place since you borrowed it. And at the time that you borrowed it, what happened? In this case, you had Bailav Imo. So what happens when you have Bailav Imo? You should be pater. So again, what's the case we're asking a shayla about? I go over to you on Sunday and I borrow your cow for a day. And then on Monday, instead of giving it back, what do? I extend it through a rental. I extend it through a rental. And now it gets lost. But on Sunday when I borrowed it, I borrowed you with it. On Monday when I rented it, I did not rent you with it. Right? The Bailim was not with it. So am I going to have the Patur of Bailav Imo? On the one hand, now it's a rental. The rental only started Monday. There was no Bailim with it when the rental started. On the other hand, what's the other hand? It's a continuation of the borrowing. And at the time of the borrowing, you had the Bailav Imo, so maybe you should be Patur. So then that's the shayla. Another suffik, another shayla. Im timtzalomar. If you're going to answer on the first one, schira b'she'ela meishach shaychi. Meaning if your answer to question number one is that schira b'she'ela meishach shaychi, which means what? Yeah, that is a continuation, that they're connected with each other, and therefore you're pater, because it's Bailav Imo. What if you do the opposite? What if schara b'balim, you first rented it with the owner, and then sha'ala shalo b'balim? You didn't transition from a borrowing to a rental, you transitioned from a rental to a borrowing. Oh, so now what's the halacha? So, and then it dies, it's mesa kedarka, it just dies naturally. So mahu, What's the din? Do we say she'ela b'schiras vade lo shaycha? The borrowing cannot be said to be a continuation of the rental. No way can the borrowing be a continuation of the rental. Why not? If the rental could be a continuation of the borrowing, why can't borrowing be a continuation of the rental?
Because
you're picking up more responsibilities when you borrow. A borrower is responsible for everything. So maybe, because a socher is pater from onsin, now you're a borrower, you're chayiv in onsin. So maybe with that new kinyan comes new responsibility, so it doesn't relate to your original schirus, oh Dilma, or on the flip side, maybe we'd say, kiven de sheicha b'mitzas, kiman de sheicha b'kula dami. Since the she'ela is somewhat related to the schirus, because the chiv of Gnev Aveda continues from the original schirus, so it's considered as if everything's just a continuation of the original schirus, that everything is a continuation of the schirus which happened bibaylum. 1 second, let's get through all the sveikos. We're going to have 4 sveikos over here, 4 shailas. So again, so far, shaila number 1 is, if I started as a shoel with the bailum and then transitioned into a renter without the bailum, right? That was shaila number 1. Do we assume that, and then it dies while I was a renter? Do we assume that it's just a continuation and therefore it's still by Levimo? Or do we assume that these are two totally separate cases, right? She'ela and Eschirus. I said, wait till we're done with all 4. Then second one was, if you're going to say that we assume that it is a connection between the two, that it's just a continuation, what if you flip it? You start out with a Eschirus, Bibaylim, and then transition into a She'ela without the Bailim. Do you say that that's also a continuation? Or do you say, no, that can't be a continuation, because when you take on the she'ela, you're taking on more responsibilities? Shaila number 3. Im timtzalomar, lo amrinan, kevan de sheicha b'miktsas, kaman de sheicha b'kulei dami. If you're going to say that the answer to shaila number 2 is that we do not view it as a continuation, we do not say that she'ela is a continuation of the schirus, it's a brand new thing, it's not a continuation. Well, what about the following? She'ala bebailim, uschara she'lo bebailim, v'chazar v'she'ala mahu. What happened over here? Without the owner, right? So the original she'ela was bibaylim, but then you rented without, but now you borrowed with. So what's the she'ela? Hadar asila she'ela l'duchta, is the second round of borrowing just a continuation of the original borrowing? Oh Dilma, if it were just a continuation of the original borrowing, what did the original borrowing have? The Bailim,
we could ask if maybe it's a continuation of the renting.
Dilma, if Sikhle Schirus Beni Ubeni, there was a Schirus in between, so that the borrowing cannot be a continuation, the second borrowing cannot be a continuation of the original borrowing. 4th Suffolk, Schara Bibailim, Usha'ala V'chazar Uschara Mahu. Now notice this Suffolk is the only one that's not introduced with the words Im Timtzaloma. And regardless of what you assume, it sounds like in the last case, if you rent it with the bailim, then you borrow it, then you rent it again without the bailim, mahu. What's the din? Amrina, mi amrina an asila schirus l'duchta, that the rental goes back to its original, meaning it's a continuation of the first rental, and there was bailim vima, odilma v'sikla she'ela b'ni b'ni. Or maybe there's the borrowing in between breaks him up, and this new schirus is shalom b'bailim. You know what the answer to all 4? Teiku. We leave them as a suffix.
All 4 and the last.
So the reasoning of the Gemara, half of it, if you only do a little bit, then it becomes all. Isn't that, what's like the real ikur of that? Because if you say that like a little of it is all, then like you could say it about a lot of things. Gemara, why does it, is it that reason?
I'm not sure what you mean.
It says the Gemara says that if you do a little of it, then that it's considered that. Wasn't it just in the Gemara?
The Gemara said that if there's that maybe since some of the responsibilities transfer over from she'ela to schirus, even though not all of them, but some of them do, maybe that's enough to consider it a continuation.
How can you say that? If some of it is, then how can you say all?
Yeah, I mean, each case you have to look at separately, you have to look at differently. But over here we're just saying that it's a continuation of the same deal because I'm just adding some elements to it. I'm just adjusting some of the elements, but it's a continuation of the same deal. What are you passing when there's a teku? Yes, yeah, so, but we got to do something right now. So do we pay? Do we not pay? What do you do? So we have. So this is a big discussion. What to do when you have a teku? The Rush has a rule though, that whenever you say is the halacha A or B? Oh, and if it's B, is it C or D? And if it's D, then is it Yerach? So we always go with the Imtim Tzoloma, with the B. Meaning, you said, is it A or B? And then you said, if it's B, and you ask further. You never ask, oh, and if it's A, I have a further question. You only said, if it's B, I have further. So that means we paskin B. Because of the fact that we went further into that line of questioning is an indication that it must be that we paskin that way. And therefore, the teku, as Yisrael said before, is really only a teku on the last two shilos. But the first two we really did answer. The first suffix, the schirus, is connected to the she'ela, and by Levimo would help. And the second one, according to the gears that we have, there are a couple of gears, we don't say that the she'ela is shaykh to the schirus because it's partially connected, which was the svara that Avi was talking about before, that it's partially connected, they have some of the responsibilities. We're not into that svara in the end. But anyway, that's the issue of teku. There is some rishon, there's machlokas rishonim also, but what if you have not a dine mamonis thing, let's say not a monetary issue, a question in Hilcha Shabbos, let's say, and the Gemara leaves it as a teku. So what would you do? Would you be machmer? Would you be maker? Would you be leaving? So what's the general rule by when you're not sure about something? So maybe you'll say, oh, let's look at this issue in Hilcha Shabbos and let's see, is it a daraisa related issue or a drabban related issue? Machlokas rishonim, whether by a teku you treat it like a pure safek, or you're always machmir. There's some rishonim that say, or achronim at least understand this way in rishonim, that when it's a teku, you're always machmir. Because the word teku doesn't really mean Eliyahu Hanavi will answer it. It's viewed as a Rashi Tevis for that, but the word actually has a meaning also. It's a word. It's an actual word. It means let it stand, which means don't resolve this question.
When
you're lenient, you've resolved it. Meaning whenever you're not sure, you always would want to be cautious. So by being lenient, you've already resolved it. And teku means don't resolve it. Be cautious. Remain cautious about this. So even on a drabanan, it could be that we're machmir and a teku. So that's the issue. Then, of course, the biggest question, if it really is about Eliyahu HaNavi coming, is Eliyahu HaNavi allowed to come and say, oh, I'm a Navi, so you better listen to how I pass in a shayla? If a Navi comes and says, through Nevuah, I have a psak halacha because I have a Nevuah, not only don't you follow him, you kill him. That's a Navi Sheker. So Maritz Chayis writes, I think, that you have to understand that teku is, or when we say Eliyahu, that Eliyahu is going to resolve it, it means, in addition, you have to realize, in addition to being a Navi, he was in the Navi game, but Eliyahu was also a rabbi. He was also a malach too, but he's also a rabbi. And Talmud Chacham. So he's not going to come in Paskin because he was a Navi, he's going to come in Paskin because he's a rabbi, so as a rabbi, he gets the paskin. Then the question becomes: here's where it gets. There are lots of rabbis in history. Wait till Eliyahu Navi comes back, and we'll ask him the shilas. I would have said, you know, who you should wait for? Moshe Rabbeinu. Wait for Moshe Rabbeinu, and ask him. As Rabbi Razner always likes to phrase the question, it should be Meku. Moshe should come and answer all the questions. So why don't we wait for Moshe? One second. So why don't we wait for Moshe? Why are we asking Eliyahu HaNavi? So there's a sefer called Ema Banim Smecha. You ever heard of the sefer? Ema Banim Smecha? Come on. Of course, exactly. And what's the idea of the book? No, this is a basic. You're a Zionist, no? Good. He was the Sabra Chassid who became a Hungarian Chassid who became. So in that sefer, he says the reason it's not we don't wait for Moshe, we wait for Eliyahu, is because Eliyahu is alive in every generation. Eliyahu and Avi Lameis. And to pass on the shilas of each generation, you need people who are connected to that generation, who've lived in that generation. Otherwise, they're not going to be able to relate. And why does he say that? Why is that his point? Because he's saying he's a chassid. Now, chassidim typically are very loyal to their traditions, very loyal to their rebbes. Now, all of his rebbes were very, very anti-Zionist. So he was saying, yeah, yeah, but they're all not living in this generation anymore. Seeing what I've seen in this generation, you need someone who's living in this generation to know that the circumstances have changed. So that's what he argues. Okay, but all that's beside the point. We had four shilas, and they all end in teku. Let's get moving with the Mishnah. Let's try to get this Mishnah done. Okay, so the Mishnah is gonna talk about at what point you become responsible for the object that you borrowed. Is it when let's say they send you a delivery? They say, you know, you're borrowing something, so they're sending it to your house. So is it when they send it or when you get it? And when are you no longer responsible? Let's say you send it back and it gets destroyed in the mail on the way back. Is it when you send it or when the guy gets it back? Hashoa l'sapara, someone who borrows a cow. Vishlachalo biad bino, and he sends the cow, you know, with a messenger with his son. Biad avdo, where he sends it with a servant. Biad shlucho, a shliach, meaning the mashiel, the guy who's lending it out, is sending it through his shliach. O biad bino, biad avdo, biad shlucho, shal shoel, or the son, or the servant, or the shliach of the shoel, umesa, and then it dies on the way. It dies. Pater. The shoel does not have to pay for it. His responsibilities of as a shoel only begin when he has it. When it's in transit, his responsibilities do not yet begin. But what if, Amar lo ha-shoel, the borrower says, do me a favor, shlach li biyad bini, or biyad avdi, biyad shluchi, send it to me, you know, with my son, with my eved, with my shliach. Or he says, oh, biyad bincha, biyad avdecha, biyad shluchacha, right? Or send it to me with your son, your eved, your shliach, oh, sha'amala mashil. Or maybe the mashil says to the shoel, hareini mishalcha lecha, biyad bini, biyad avdi, biyad shluchi. You should know, I'm going to send it with my son, my eved, my shliach, oh, biyad bincha, biyad avdecha, biyad shluchacha, your son, your eved, your shliach, va'amar lo ha-shoel, shalach. The shoel says, good by me, send it. Happy with that. I'm maskim. That's perfectly fine. Then, shalach lo meis l'chayiv. Then if it dies in transit, the shoel is going to be chayiv. Why? What changed? What? He agreed. Once he agrees that that's an acceptable way of shipping the product, he's taken responsibility for the product. Right? I don't think Amazon works that way. Even though you agree that Amazon is going to send it however they send it, I think they still take responsibility until you, right? Is that true? Probably, but that's because they're a giant company and they have a lot of good deals with suppliers and whatever. They're not losing that much money. But the halacha would be that if you agree that that's an acceptable way to send it, you've taken responsibility. And, says the Mishnah, v'chein b'sha'a shemachzira. And also when you return it. What does that mean, also when you return it?
When the shoel returns it to the mashiel, it's his responsibility
until it gets to the mashiel, unless the mashiel gives explicit permission. So let's make a main point out of that. So what does the Mishnah say? That if an item gets ruined in transit, we assume you don't take responsibility until it's delivered, until you have it in your hands. Unless you said that you're taking responsibility, unless you said you're okay with that method of transportation of the item.
Well, if it gets lost in transit.
If it gets lost in transit or destroyed in transit, we assume that you're not responsible for it until you actually have it in your possession. Unless you agree to that method of transportation. Now, does it matter who's shliach, who's eved, who's... Doesn't matter. Okay. That's the end of the amud. Should we go further to make it a little shorter next time, or should we stop there?
Vote? Longer.
No, it's me.
I don't mind if we make it longer, but... Like, we're kind of like off on